The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. It is page 323 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Amen. David received anointing of oil from Prophet Samuel. This signified that David was going to be the king who was to rule over Israel. And David became the son-in-law of King Saul, whom everybody in Israel feared, after he defeated Goliath, whom everybody in Israel feared. And he won battles everywhere he went and became a national hero. And yet, he had to be on the run for a long time to avoid death threats of King Saul. Although he was on the run, he tried his best not to lose his centeredness on God and to keep his attitude as a royal subject of the king. When David's party was in the desert of En-Gedi, Saul came after him to capture David along with 3,000 soldiers. There were many caves around, but Saul happened to come into the cave where David was hiding to go to the bathroom. And this was the perfect chance for David to kill King Saul. But David only cut off the outer garment of Saul without Saul knowing about it. And even for doing that, David felt remorseful because he felt that he did wrong to a person anointed by God. And this was not all. When David was hiding in the mountain of Hakila in the desert of Ziph, Saul also came after him with 3,000 soldiers. The followers of David said that they would kill Saul with one strike, who was asleep, but David said they could not treat someone who was anointed by God in such a way and told them only to take away the spear and the water bottle, which were placed next to Saul's head. This was what David was like at his center. When David got tired of being on the run, he thought it would be best to leave Israel and went to Gath in Palestine, the hometown of Goliath, whom he had defeated, and asked for an asylum from King Achish. So Achish allowed David and his party of 600 to live in Ziklag area, and they lived there for 1 year and 4 months. But a war broke out between Palestine and Israel. King Achish thought that this was a great chance to show people that David was now on the side of Palestine and asked David to go fight with him. David was probably at a dilemma because although he had sought asylum away from Saul's persecution, he followed Achish to battle, but had he actually fought against Israel, he would not have been able to be a king of Israel. It would have been very difficult for him to have been a king of Israel. But the commanders of Palestine, upon seeing David, strongly opposed David joining them. David was the very person whom Israelites praise as killing tens of thousands of Palestinians, while Saul had killed in the thousands. They were worried what would happen if David would strike them from behind, change his mind and strike them behind. So the commanders were totally set against fighting with David. Achish tried to convince his men that David was on their side, but he failed. And so Achish had to make David return home. So David, together with his men, went back to Ziklag in 3 days. But the place was reduced to ruins because it had been attacked by Amalekites. David and all those who were with him could only cry until no strength was left for them to shed more tears. The people who had been with David became extremely angry and wanted to stone him. But what was fortunate, even under those circumstances, was that Amalekites did not kill any of the children or women, but had dragged them away alive. So David asked the will of God and pursued after the Amalekite army. But then they ran into a problem. When they got to the brook of Besor, about one-third of his men, 200 out of 600 men, fell away. Now these men had walked to the place of the battle with the Philistines and Israel, which was Aphek, the place which was about 75 kilometers in distance. And they had come back the same distance in 3 days. And after their brief stop at Ziklag, where they grieved over what had happened, they marched yet another 224 kilometers. And after that, some people simply could not go on further. In this situation, in order to rescue the families who had been captured, David needed even one more soldier in this campaign. And the person who would have been most disheartened by what happened would have been David. But he did not pull out his sword and threatened his men by telling them to choose death or continuing with him to fight the Amalekites. He left them there and went on with the remaining 400 men because he believed the power to bring the families back did not depend on the number of men he had, but with God who was with him. When they came upon the camp of the Amalekite army with the help of an Egyptian boy, they were in the middle of celebrating their victory by eating and drinking. From morning to the next day at sundown, David and his men fought continuously for at least 36 hours. This 36 continuous hours of battle was only possible because God had given them the strength, considering that they were in extreme physical exhaustion. They not only got their families back, but were able to reclaim all of their properties. They were able to enjoy an absolute victory. But another problem awaited him. When David and his men returned to the brook of Besor, the 200 who had been exhausted and who had remained behind them greeted them. Now some of the people who had gone on to fight the Amalekites demanded that since these men stay behind to rest and did not fight the war, they should not share the spoils of war, but they should simply return with their wives and children. Samuel 1, chapter 30, verses 23 to 25 testifies to how David responded to them. David replied, "No, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All will share alike." David made this a statute, an ordinance for Israel from that day to this. About why all of them had to share equally, David says that they were able to survive only because God had protected them and allowed them to prevail over Amalekites. It was only natural, according to David, that they shared what they got because they won the war solely due to the grace of God. David was in the same mind as the men who were left behind at Bethor. They had not stayed behind because they didn't want to fight. They too wanted to participate and go and rescue their families, but could not because their physical strength failed them. And David was able to read the hearts of these men who were frustrated and disheartened. This became an occasion which gave rise to a law requiring people to act this way when a similar situation was to happen in the future. In our lives also, there's the Ziklag and Bethor. The original meaning of Ziklag is snaking or bent. At times, in our lives, we feel like life is like a maze and we don't know where to go and how winding it is. And no matter how hard we try, we end up at the same place. And it makes us feel like everyone is getting ahead except us, and we spend nights in despair. But even at such moments, we must remember, and it is only when we are able to confirm that we are in the Lord that we can live as Christians in the right way. Bethor, on the other hand, means good news or joy. When we look behind our lives, at our lives, we can see that there were many occasions on which the Lord gave us joy by giving us good news. But we should also remember that at such times, that we should be rightly conscious of the fact that we are in the Lord so that we will not fall down. Ziklag and Bethor also appear not only in a personal life, but in our relationship with other people. We have the heart of Ziklag, which is wort, and the heart of Bethor, which is good. And today's text shows us well how we are to relate to other people with these two hearts. The Church of Philippi was very special to Apostle Paul. Philippi was not a city that Paul had intended to visit. And moreover, the church there started because Paul had healed a girl who was possessed by an evil spirit and made a living by telling fortunes and getting beaten up in return. For doing that, for rescuing the girl, he was severely beaten and imprisoned. Now, on the other hand, the Philippi believers probably thought of Paul as being very special too. They had never prayed that a church would be established in Philippi and that Paul be sent to them. Even while they were not even aware that a person called Paul existed, God, through the vision of a Macedonian man, guided Paul to their place. Thinking about all this, they were probably captivated by the mysteriousness of it all. Therefore, the relationship between Paul and the Philippi church was very beautiful. These are the words in Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Paul could have received donations from the church for his missions, but he didn't do that. He earned his living by making tents at each city he visited. Paul confessed that he had learned how to be content, whether he had a lot or he had very little, and in all situations. Therefore, rather than the money that Philippi church sent, what Paul appreciated was that they had joined him in what he was doing and became his co-workers. No church, except for the Church of Philippi, had helped him as Paul went from city to city planting churches. And the Church of Philippi has sent Paul money when Paul was staying at Thessalonica after leaving Philippi. This shows how special the Church of Philippi thought of Paul. And Paul, Apostle Paul, made the following confession about the Church of Philippi in verse 1 of today's text. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. He is wishing that the people of Philippi Church who are waiting for the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, would stand firm in the Lord. To Apostle Paul, the people of Philippi Church were people whom he loved and missed very much. People who made him happy just thinking about them. People whom he wanted to brag to God about. And his fervent hope for these people is that they remain standing in the Lord. This is the first attitude. This is to be the first attitude of the people who are waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse 2 testifies about the second attitude that the people who wait for the Lord Jesus Christ is to have. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, women had played important roles in Philippi church from the very beginning. When Paul's party preached the gospel to the people they had met at the place of prayer, God had first opened the heart of Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth. And Paul had healed the person who was possessed by an evil spirit, and this person too was a woman. The families of the jailer of the prison where Paul and Silas had been imprisoned in Philippi received baptism, and the jailer took Paul and Silas home and fed them food. And most likely, the jailer's wife and the servant girls prepared the food. And we can't know for sure who Euodia and Syntyche are. Some scholars view that the name of Euodia is actually a name for a man and think that they may have been a husband and a wife. If they were a married couple, they speculate that they were most likely the jailer of the Philippi prison and his wife. And so, in King James's English Bible, Euodia is expressed as Euodias, a name of a man. But in Greek Bible, it is recorded as a woman's name. And some scholars think that one of these two persons, two women, was Lydia, or that these two persons each represented the Jewish and the Hellenic Christian believers. Whether Euodia and Syntyche were a married couple or represented different groups, what is important is that they were not able to be in harmony. It is an honor to have one's name recorded in the Bible, the eternal word of God. The names of Euodia and Syntyche appear only once in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, in this verse. But regrettably, their names appear as names of people who can't get along. Their names have stood for people who cannot be in harmony by Christians for over 2,000 years. Last Wednesday, Reverend Lee Jung-ro preached on the judge Shamgar. Among the 12 judges of Israel, the Bible describes Shamgar with a single verse. Judges chapter 3, verse 31 testifies as follows. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Now, Shamgar is not a very well-known judge. About Ehud, who preceded him, no less than 16 verses are written down. He was left-handed, but he defeated Eglon, the king of Moab, and 10,000 of his army, and brought peace to Israelites for 80 years. It was the longest time of peace that Israel has enjoyed among the time of the 12 judges. If he had been called in his 20s, he was used by God until he was 100 years old. The person who follows Shamgar is Deborah, a woman judge. 52 verses are dedicated to her. The Bible even records a song that she sang upon defeating Yabin, the king of Canaanites. Deborah brought peace for Israelites for 40 years. Now, compared to Ehud and Deborah, the records of Shamgar is really paltry. It reads like a short episode out of a great epic, which is about a protagonist. But God testifies that Shamgar struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he too saved Israel. From God's point of view, not only Ehud and Deborah, but Shamgar too was a faithful judge. Our lives also will be summarized by God one day. What's important is not how long or short the summary is, but how it is summarized. I will read verse 2 again. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. The word plead in Greek is parakaleo, and its literal meaning is call to, stand next to. This is a word which you use to describe when a person is encouraging, teaching, or pleading from the bottom of one's heart. Another name for the Holy Spirit is helper, a counselor, and comforter. And this Holy Spirit is Parakletos, or the person who is whispering next to me. Although Apostle Paul is sending a letter from far away, he's pleading with Euodia and Syntyche as if he's standing next to them and whispering. And Apostle Paul does not say, "I plead with Euodia and Syntyche," but says, "I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche." It would have been enough for him to have used the verb to plead only once. But yet he uses it twice. It seems to convey a sense that each is responsible for the disharmony. And at the same time, it conveys the earnestness with, or the trouble that Paul is willing to go through to plead with each of them separately. Apostle Paul says that these two persons should be of the same mind. The literal meaning of this phrase is to have same thoughts. It is really difficult to be in harmony with another person without thinking the same way. And Paul also says that they should have the same thought in the Lord, because human beings are all very selfish and are very self-centered. Unless they are in the Lord, it's impossible for them to be united with each other. Only those who are in the Lord can have the same mind as other people. The relations between the self and the Lord and with other people is like a triangle, with the Lord being the top point. There is a distance between self and other people. This distance cannot be overcome with our talents or skills. It may look like we are coming near to each other momentarily, but behind our back is the spring of self-love and the rubber band of selfishness. And we are pulled back to our original position. But if we stand in the Lord and make our way towards Him little by little, we discover that we all come to have the same mind. So when we are wholly united with the Lord, we will experience that we will truly become united with other people and have the same mind with them. Among the songs that Paul McCartney, a former member of the Beatles, recorded in 1982, there is a song called Ebony and Ivory. Ebony is a tree that grows in India or Africa and is hard and heavy and is known for its black sheen. Ivory, of course, is the hind teeth of elephants. Ebony and ivory represents the black and the white keys of the piano. This song was sung in duet by McCartney and Stevie Wonder, who is vision impaired. The song conveys the message that, like the keys of the piano, the people of the world should live in harmony regardless of color, a message that opposes racial discrimination. The lyric of the song goes like this: "Ebony and ivory, live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we? We all know that people are the same wherever you go. We learn to live. We learn to give each other what we need to survive together, alive. It is not only the blacks and whites who should live in harmony. All of us are the children of the Lord who should live with the same mind. In order for the Miki and the Yuki to have the same mind, we must remember that we are in the piano called the Lord. The minute we get away from the piano, we will only become noises that stop other people from hearing. It is not important whether we are the high key or the low key, or whether we're the black key or the white key. If we, and further, it's not important whether we make a whole note or a half note. If we do our best to make our sound heard in the places where we happen to be with our character and our faith, and if we play our life this way, God will make a song through us, a song to purify and light the world, a song to renew our church and our families. Let us pray. Father God, in living, there are so many times that I think according to my standards rather than trying to think from the other situation. Although we think there are reasons to what we say and how we act, there are many times that we think that other people don't have any reason to speak or act the way they do. In the same way that David was able to share grace by knowing the hearts of people who are left behind in Besor, help us to be children of God who are able to embrace those who are weaker than us. Even if our life is summarized with a single phrase rather than as a book or a long writing, may be something that you approve rather than disapprove. Help us to get over our mistake in thinking that we can be of the same mind with other people by trying with our abilities. Help us to realize that we have become one by going towards the Lord in Jesus Christ. Whether God has entrusted us with the life of black keys or a life of a white keys, may we not discriminate people based on that. Whether we are high-sounding keys or low-sounding keys, may we not become arrogant or despair because of it. Whether we are the whole note or half notes, allow us to make your song. More than anything, allow us not to forget our whole lives that we can be of the same mind only when we are in the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.